guys got the handout.
Superior design criteria, the last document, I believe, is dated July 21st from Dave in the form of a memo with the attachments. And that's where we were reading some of the percentages earlier. The 40% keeps coming up. 40% must be a sort of national percentage, Rick, maybe, being they use 40 so much. I'm assuming that's
where they got it from.
I just assume that's probably something they've picked up to be an average.
Probably what they've used in other locations.
Yeah, it could be. Probably a fair number. Before we got it, I always figured that Superior Design was going to be a big document, big several pages. And the intent of this is just to give us a chance to think about it. And I would think it would be more detailed than what it is.
I have a question, though. I'm looking at some of these that seem to be a little softballish in nature. Looking at number 9, minimizes disturbance of highly important wildlife corridors and habitats. How are you going to know? If a developer can come in and say he's doing that. Well, that's doing something by leaving it alone, which is fine, but who's going to establish that it exists in the first place?
Well, if you sit down and look at some of the environmental assessments, phase one documents that we get, most of the information that they get for those documents is taken off the internet by use of maps, et cetera. And it would show a lot of that information as far as where the flight path is or the, I guess you could call it a wildlife corridor of sorts.
So if there's a Canadian goose flight path over your site, you can say that you're minimizing your disturbance of it by not building something 12 stories high, which you couldn't do anyway.
Yep.
So some of this stuff's a little, 4 out of 12 might not be enough. Maybe 6 out of 12 would be better, you know?
I sort of have 11, to agree with the point Lawrence made. After looking at what was proposed in the plan and what we got here, I was expecting a little bit more than what we got. For example, one of the things that was talked about in the plan was requiring a yield plan for cluster development, which is what the context of all of this is. And
I'm trying to find something that says that a cluster needs to be a cluster. It needs to be a bunch of houses over here and a whole bunch of open space over here. We get these cluster developments that the whole thing looks like
an AR development with smaller lots.
See, that's what I envisioned when that cluster first came out, that we're going to have a lot of open space in a certain area and all the homes over here in a certain area. But like we're getting now, we're getting an acre here and a half acre over here, open space. And
20 feet between a house.
Yeah, 20 feet behind houses. I thought the cluster was just what it was, cluster.
Well, what I got out of the commission a few years ago when the cluster first came about was that you were seeing it as 50% of the project base can be set outside in agriculture or open space and the other being developed.
Right.
And we end up with the full lot being utilized or the full parcel being utilized with a small amount of open space, whatever the minimum required, and to get more units that way.
And I was thinking, like 100 acre lot, they could put 25 acres of it in cluster housing and the other 75 acres could be left farming or conservation or something like that, but I don't see that now. We're doing that.
We've had that in a couple of places, but the 75 acres is on the other side of a road, and that's going to be the sprayer irrigation field.
Right. But, yeah, exactly.
And I don't know why we wouldn't want to make some of these mandatory. In other words,
I don't see someone as being optional.
Yeah, it's a minimum threshold to be superior design.
Yeah, superior design criteria is a minimum standard is, and then give them, let them choose out of some, so many, but.
But you could almost take this list and incorporate it into 99-9C.
Yes, you could, yeah.
And you could establish percentages. Mm-hmm. Or you're basically saying what half of the 99-9C already says.
Well, the only issue I would take with that is 99C applies to all subdivisions.
No, right, I agree. And this is talking about cluster.
We'd have to make a distinction between that
right.
part.
I'm just saying, you could incorporate it.
For instance, it was located at least 40%, number 7, located at least 40% of all required open space adjacent to an undeveloped lot, where the preserved open space has the possibility of being connected, you know. I mean, that sounds to me like something you could require where there was an undeveloped lot. You'd have to allow for the case where it doesn't, you know, where there isn't an undeveloped lot. If it's not there, it's not there. In that case, they would have to do something else. But I think some of this, just leaving it up to the designer or developer to pick 4 out of a list of 12, well, let's see. We won't bother the Delmarva fox squirrels path, and we won't cut down any mature trees. I'm halfway there already.
Right.
We'll maximize protection of wetlands. Okay, that's 3.
And we'll preserve an old house.
And I'll preserve an old house. There you go. I'm a cluster.
Boom.
Well, that's a cluster, all right.
Where are you?
Superior cluster. I'm a superior cluster now. You know, so I don't think this pick 4 deal is going to work. That might work for the lottery, but
the approach that you're taking is, I think, part of what's included in this green, super green criteria. If you look at the direction they're going in that, it's sort of the same thing. In each of the different subject areas, there's a minimum threshold that you have to meet.
Right.
And then you get extra points for doing this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
So you're talking about similar kind
right.
of
stuff. And if there's overlap between what happens with super green and what happens with this, then that's a happy circumstance. I think we need to set, I just think this is set up so that it's...
Checklist.
Yeah, well, it's a checklist, and you pick and choose the stuff that, you know, that maximizes density. I mean, there's one of the first rules of politics somebody told me once was that no matter what they're talking about money, okay? And I think here, no matter what they're talking about density, okay? And that's what we have to be looking at is, you know, how is this document going to serve that interest, or how, you know, and that's expressing it in a positive way, or, you know, how is it going to be used, you know, or misused to simply maximize density. So I think we have to have some minimum standards that rather than just the pick 4, because we just did that. We just picked 4 things that,
I don't know that you're exactly right. The 4 does not make it superior.
No, those 4 don't.
Right.
You know,
right.
That doesn't make
what
it
does.
Superior. What does? And I think we have to have a minimum standard for superior, and maybe, and I agree to give them some latitude. You know, maybe you have 3 or 4 things that have to be there, and then they pick 3 or 4 more out of a list. You know, do any of these you want, you know?
One of the things that has been an issue is the number of lots that has come up on some occasions where clusters have come in, and whether or not what's being asked for is too many and whether or not it should be reduced. One, picking up on where it sounds like you're going, if you have meet a minimum set of whatever it is, 4, 6, 8, whatever it is, and you increase above your yield plan 20%, that's the minimum. If you have 10 or 3 or 4 additional criteria that you meet, you get 5 more percent units or something like that, so that there's a trade-off on additional superior design, you get additional units. But it would be set out by a formula or some kind of criteria that people would know about ahead of time, which is really the name of the game. What do I have to do? And they can make a decision. I want to go for the 40% solution, and so I'm going to do the six basic criteria plus the seven others that have to do to get that 40%. Something like that. Something to allow it to be stepped up. The more superior, the more units.
Yeah.
And at some point, they're
which is sort of the intention of Super Green. I mean, that's
yeah.
The idea
again,
with Super
picking up on the
picking
concept.
Up on the same concept. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Is to say, okay, if you get here's the minimum to be superior, and if you want to go beyond that, you know, here's a little incentive for doing that.
Right. I don't know if that helps or. You're interested.
I mean, it's as Mr. Lang said, what we've been presented with here was not this, was just kind of sketchy. I mean, we're talking about these ideas are going to have to be, and I don't think, unfortunately, that job's going to fall to the staff. Somebody's going to put it down on paper, I guess. But
well, we went through this when we first started talking about the comp plan, and this is an ordinance we needed 6 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. No
we
question. Adopted
in 02, yep. Effective in 03. We should, in 18 months, we should have had, yep. This should have been
right.
Done. This is one
right.
That we had.
Been
you already, Rick had a,
mm-hmm. All right, let's
he had a graph of what we had back then.
What do we think, guys, what do you think that some of the mandatory requirements might be? I mean, we can start by looking at this list to see if you see anything that.
Contiguous open space.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dingo.
Yeah. What's that? Did you think that was the reason
yeah.
For it when we started?
I honestly did. When I that's probably where I learned a valuable lesson about being a commissioner, and that is you have to look at what could someone do with this ordinance.
Yeah.
You know, what? Not just, you know, we assume that it's going to look a certain way. Well, if it's not written that way,
yeah.
You know, it might look some other way, which is exactly what we ended up with. So you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, what is, you know, how can this ordinance be manipulated to have, you know, and what would be the unintended, potential unintended consequences? And that's what we have here. We all thought we were going to see something with a big, big open space area, you know, and a relatively compact development footprint. I don't think it's happened yet.
Said it before. Kicker was council said you get two units per acre.
Well, I don't care if they're all in the same place, you know, the 2 units per acre. As long as they all occurred in one spot, that's what we thought we were. That's what I thought we were going to see.
I know, but when we looked at it the first time, it appeared that it was going to end up that way because you're going to retain about half the properties and develop the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they council through the minimum two units per acre, you end up taking up more of the land because they got more units. And they're getting more units that way. And most of the project looks like they're almost maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what we should be saying is that even with a 2 per acre, that with a cluster, they shouldn't be getting more than what they could reasonably develop under standard.
You can get, there's nothing wrong with it. The 2 per acre is subject to all these other things. You have to, you know, you can have 2 per acre, but you got to have 40% contiguous open space.
Yeah.
And if you can make the two of them go together, well, good for you. If you can't, well, you know, the way it goes. But
what about the requirement for, you're talking about criteria, what about the requirement for a yield plan?
Could you, just so we all understand what you're talking about?
Well, that's part of what's in the comprehensive plan that we just adopted.
I know.
And what we say there is
I agree with you, it should be, yeah. But I want to make sure everybody understands what you're talking about.
3-3-3-3. 3-35 of the plan, which is the future land use element. There are a couple of criteria under there that were under the general topic of community design, which starts the page before. But specific to the yield plan, bullet number 2 on page 3-35, make sure cluster development is not misused to generate dramatic increase in number of homes allowed on a tract. A yield plan should be required to accurately show the number of homes that would be actually be possible on the same tract under conventional development regulations, so that you have kind of a frame of reference.
3-34. Yeah, because we've asked for that, guys, you know, we've asked for that. Some people have volunteered it, brought it with it, part of their presentation, some have not. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't require it.
I got 3-35 was from the edited, unedited version, which we had before. So it'd be the 3-34, sorry.
Second bullet.
The page before.
Yeah, yield plan makes sense because who knows? Someone may be designing something, and after they do a yield plan, may say, you know, we're actually better off with a non-cluster, doing it, you know, this way, doing a more traditional development, cutting down on the amenities or something. It may make more sense.
Well, if you're going to do something similar to Super Green, where you have a minimum threshold and then allow bonus points, you need a yield plan so that you've got some kind of a baseline to compare things to.
Yep, you need a benchmark. Absolutely, I think that should be in there. Yield plan should be in there. I agree with you.
All right, good. So the yield plan should be part of all cluster presentations.
Yeah. Show us what could be.
And we've had that before where they show the box.
Sure.
And it's all,
yeah.
Not that anybody ever buy it, but.
Right, but still, I mean, it's a place to
they
start.
They made it work. Yeah.
And our yield plan were basically grids.
Yeah.
Maxed
yeah.
out.
Right.
Yep.
No design, no stormwater or anything, just maxed out.
Right. You have to take it with somewhat of a grain of salt,
right,
because the reality is it wouldn't happen that way, but it at least gives you a place to start.
You don't want an engineered yield plan, but you want something that resembles potential.
Yeah. The kind of thing that they might do in the when they're deciding whether or not to purchase a particular.
The scaled right of way.
Yeah, it would have to stick to the particulars of not having lot lines in the wetlands and some of those
right.
rudimentary
design
things.
Yeah, they would have to observe
and
all the ordinances, obvious stuff.
Not a 10-foot right of way.
Can't expect them to design stormwater management for a yield plan. I mean,
right.
For instance. Okay. How do we address this wanting to see one big chunk of open space?
Well, you'd have to almost say as a majority. That way, because you're going to have situations where you're going to put it in other locations that aren't suitable for.
What would you say, I say like half the open space has to be in a...
You could put a percentage on it of the land should be...
You're not going to get it all.
Somebody's not going to be able to make that, though.
So your open space calculation includes buffers, et cetera.
Yeah.
You got to separate some of it.
Right.
The only point I was making is if you put a 50%, for example, not everybody's going to be able to meet that. There may be some occasion where, because of the configuration of the parcel, layout of wetland, location of wetlands, it may have to be divided up into.
Well, yeah.
It would be advertised in that way. It could be considered a waiver that the commission has to consider, but it has to be advertised for that waiver so that people know they're applying for it to be changed.
Well, if you said majority generally interpreted as 51%.
But isn't that what they're basically saying with this 40%?
I think that their number is 40%.
40%.
Well,
fine.
40%.
All right, 40%. That's 40% more than we've been getting.
Exactly.
So, fine, that's reasonable.
Yeah, because that would allow for a large development that has a lot of buffers going around it to still wind up with a reasonable calculation.
But if the 40% led to 90 houses and I can't get there, leads to 140 houses.
No, it's 40% of all required open space. So you're not changing the amount of open space. The amount of open space is set. You know,
it's the location of the open space.
Right, that's what we're saying. 40% of the open space has to be in a contiguous area.
Right.
You know, and that way, it'd be pretty hard pressed. I mean, there would be no density advantage to them making a hardship case, I don't think.
They would just have to create one big block.
Yeah.
And it's a number that's subject to change at the time you consider it by ordinance.
Sure.
And the time the council considered it by ordinance.
Exactly, yeah.
But when we look at situation where it sounds like a variance, and it's in this, if it's in 115, it could be some consideration by Board of Adjustment for variance. It's under Chapter 99, everything goes through the commission. So depending on which ordinance it's in as to where the variance could be granted. They have to be careful about the variance or possibilities before the board.
I think, when you think about this limiting the removal of healthy, mature trees, making that a requirement, that they limit the removal.
I agree with that, along with maximizing protection of wetlands and water bodies. Yeah. And that's a good one.
Yeah, shouldn't be a
that's option. Makes it superior. That's should be a requirement with all the subdivisions.
Can I offer a suggestion on that particular issue?
Yeah. Which one?
On the protection of water bodies, the wetlands. Right now, the commission only allows the property line to not include wetlands. But we also have a 50-foot buffer requirement adjacent to state wetlands. There are occasions where property line and the wetland line are the same, but the buffer is entirely on private and the individual lots. To change that would either require a change in the ordinance, or you could have, as a superior design criteria, that the buffer not be included in private lots.
Well, the buffer is actually a setback. From the state wetland, it's a buffer setback. You just have to leave 50 foot of basically open space from the wetland line, even though it's on the lot. You can look at it both ways.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you interpret it, but I guess to be a superior design, it would provide additional buffer is essentially what I'm getting at. Just a suggestion.
Well, the whole setback thing is issue of big debate because we keep getting from DENREC where they're recommending anywhere from 100 to 150 to 300 feet, and in many cases we've been at least requiring 50 feet. So DENREC may get their act together eventually and come out with regs that say 50 feet or greater.
I think the problem with the setbacks, the buffers, is the lack of any good science that tells you really how far it should be. What's right? You know, what's right?
Well, if you read DENREC's wording, they say it is based on their, researcher.
Give them a call and ask them to send you a copy of it and see what happens.
On that specific subject, I would like to set up meeting with some of you to talk about the study that was done by some folks at the Inland Bays. They did something specific
with
regard to that.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a specific.
There's a number.
That deals specifically with the kinds of situations that we have here. So.
And did they come up with a number?
For their purposes, yes. But the point is that it's a good tutorial on the benefits of buffers, regardless of what number you pick. It's a good educational tool, and I'd like to get take an opportunity to
it could be additional business on a special meeting afternoon, maybe, for a half hour.
Yeah.
I mean, for their own reasons, they have their own suggestion, but the point is, the study does document.
Yeah, Jessica came in, same thing.
Similar kind of thing.
Good.
It was well prepared, too, I've seen it.
Well, and I think that's the kind of things we need, the kind of things we need to be relying on, you know.
Right.
I mean.
And it's an objective, scientific related, it's not.
That's what we need.
And we send them notice on a lot of the applications so that they can respond, if they so desire. But they try not to go against what other agencies are saying.
Right.
So we don't get comments. So you referenced maximizes protection of wetlands and or water bodies using best management practices. You must reference limit the removal of healthy mature trees. They're going to say that, but we're finding that they're not doing it in some cases. And we can give you a couple examples where they basically went in and cleared the property.
Well,
and then they go, and then they come back in with a landscape plan that's doesn't even compare to what was there.
That's why wherever possible, I'd suggest you consider performance criteria as opposed to kind of like 99C statements. Because it's too easy to just talk about rather than point out and say, here, on this part of the plan, this is what we're doing that meets that criteria.
And in defense of some of the presentations that we heard, the applicant's representatives make certain statements, which is what the intent was, but then the project gets flipped before it started, and another developer comes in and does something different. Might even flip it again before the construction takes place, and then damage is already done. And they don't realize, if it's not all detailed in notes on the recorded plot, if they even read it, whether it gets done or not. We're dealing with at least one of those now.
Yeah, at least one.
Well, one of the upgrade criteria can be that they provide us with a plan showing the location of the mature trees and tag them on site.
That could be, again, that's performance criteria based.
Yeah, tag them for inspection.
Something that you can,
you know, so we can go out and define mature tree as anything more than a 10-inch diameter, 12-inch diameter, whatever you want it to be.
I mean, just as a general comment, the kinds of things we're talking about now and the kinds of things we'll be talking about on the super green relate to the point that Mr. Lank just made. What happens in the field as a follow-up after we've gotten the assurances, after we've gotten the plans, after we've gotten whatever the criteria is?
Virtually all of the green initiatives have either a commissioning or follow-up component to them. And it's a good idea. The issue for us is going to be, it's just like enforcement, essentially, is what you're talking about. You know, is.
But once that mature tree is cut down,
it's too late.
You can't enforce it.
Right, but at least if it were tagged ahead of time.
Exactly.
Yeah, tell them that they require them to tag ahead of time and have an inspector go out and see that they're tagged. You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I have a little difficulty here on number 7, trying to figure out what the word is. So it locates at least 40% of all required open space adjacent to an undeveloped lot, where the preserved open space has a possibility of being connected in the future to open space on that adjacent lot. Is he talking about a neighboring parcel?
Yeah, I think what he's saying, what I read
the lot word throws me off.
Is that if it locate the open space next to the cornfield because or next to the woods because
that, would be right
that
on number
may
five.
Be developed at a later time. Yeah, I know, that's why I changed my example. But it might be developed at a later time, and then we would have all the you know, they're trying to create like a greenway.
Oh, yeah, I was reading it the same way, but the word lot was throwing me off.
Yeah,
look at you say, well, that's in the project, but it's not.
Jason, it's a developed parcel.
Parcel, I think, is what the better word, not lot. But
Bob Wheatley's subdivision with open space of record, and then Mike Johnson's subdivision right next door, having to put open space right next to it, and the Mike Johnson's people aren't going to want Bob Wheatley's people coming over and playing in their open space. Mm-hmm. It's green space, fine. But if it's active, it's going to be difficult.
But the point you were making earlier about the
trespass space,
40% contiguous open space, you should get more points if that space is next to an existing forested area.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I agree. No, I'm saying that.
Absolutely.
Redden Forest.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
I agree. No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying. I'm just.
Yeah.
Old devil advocate comes out, you know.
So, lot should we change the parcel?
There we get. No, but they're still getting a trespass issue of people from one development going into another development. We get that argument all the time.
We get the same argument with the step streets.
Same argument with that. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, that should actually say parcel, not. Shouldn't say lot. I don't
know. You describe better.
Yeah, it's just, it sounds like it's a one little 10,000 square footer or something. But it's throughout the document. It also always says lot, and I'm just. Number four said locate at least 40% of all required open space on one contiguous lot.
You mean as far as for X being expedited?
What would be the advantage, I guess, of getting the points?
Density. The minimum, you got to do the minimum to get the preferred, the expedited stuff. And then if you want to get additional density, you got to do the other things. That's one concept.
But I thought this whole superior design criteria was to clarify. What's a superior design? Not so much to grant anybody additional density or anything else, but it's trying to take the subjective situation we have now, and we look at every cluster and say, is it superior or is it not? Mm-hmm. And just,
well,
that's how I'm interpreting this.
The density bonus issue, we won't even go there then, because you're right, that's what this is.
Well, this is just trying to give more guidance to the
determine the definition of superior, and then the second is, does that get you the answer?
Right. What we're trying to do now is decide what's superior.
What's the
this is just to get, so you can get approval from the commission, because the commission is saying that, yes, we consider these pieces part of what makes it superior, the definition of superior. It's not to give them anything else. You know, it's just so they can perhaps get approval to start with.
Side to this side of the room. I keep finding I'm always looking this way. I think it's because I'm left-handed. I usually lean on my left hand. Anything else that you would like to see as a mandatory requirement for superior?
One of the other things that's mentioned in the plan further on down that same page is the four-step process. Do you want anything relative to that?
That's the stuff we thought we were going to get.
Right. Yeah. Make it clear that it's supposed to be part of the documentation that's submitted.
Suggestion to the comp plan should all be included within the proposed ordinance.
What page are you on, Mr. Lane?
Well, I'm talking about, well, it's basically 333 through 335. It's all part of it, and it's just, I mean, in both cases of what we reviewed earlier, the eligible open space, and then you've got the community design criteria.
If you
superior design criteria, but same thing.
If you remember when we started the plan process, one of the things that was submitted as part of the land use element, the very first draft that we got, was things related to open space and the superior design, and that's what's now become this part of the plan.
How would you require the, I mean, this appears to me that the land use plan is suggesting an engineering protocol. I mean, which I guess is okay, but I mean, they're sort of telling them how to do it. They're suggesting, recommending a way to do it.
Well, the difficulty is what we adopted as a more comprehensive plan as suggestions, methodology for the criteria. So it should be portions of it, a majority of it should all be incorporated somehow into these.
And I don't disagree. Criteria. I don't disagree with that.
But the wording could be, I mean, wording needs to be tweaked. Definitely so to make it
as
ordinary.
As far as the four-step process goes, you could put it in there, and you'll never know for sure if that's the way they did it or not, but that's the way it'll be presented to us. I think that's more to the point, is that this is, you know, I would like to see the presentation structured like that, you know. I don't know how much of that we can actually find its way into the ordinance, but it's, I agree with you, Lawrence, if it's in the plan, it kind of needs to be in the, you know, needs to be in the, represented in the ordinance in some fashion. But not word for word, but
well, not actually word for word, but it gets more technical when you get into the ordinance.
Right.
The concept, though, as Rick said, is should be there.
Well, and reading what they have in here, and here's another conflict. We're saying on page 336 that in most cases, at least half of the required open space should be in one contiguous area, yet. Here they're talking about 40%.
Yeah, but they're saying in most cases at least half, and requiring 40% allows for those cases where half's not going to, you know, not going to make it. And I think you're going to see more than 40% in a lot of instances because the 40% is going to force them. You know, it's not all going to be in little 1% chunks. It's a you know, there's a chunk here and a chunk there, and you got to move this to move that, and all of a sudden you went from 35 to 55. You know, well, they're not, you know, so they're going to let it go with that. I think that's what the, I mean, I don't have any trouble with the way it's said, but the problem is an ordinance can't say in most cases.
Right.
You know, it's got to say, it's got to, you know.
Minimum of.
Yeah, it's got to be, we have to set a minimum standard, so.
Well, if you went back to the open space, they pretty much, in most cases, followed what they've written.
Mm-hmm. They did.
But in this design criteria,
I'm a little puzzled why, as you mentioned at the onset, that we didn't get more, because there's a lot of information, a lot of stuff in the plan that doesn't seem to be you know. But this is a discussion stage, so it certainly, in its final form, can be fleshed out.
So maybe one of our suggestions is that URC come back with more information on open space.
I think that's, yeah, that's certainly possible. That to our recommendation would be that they refer to the land use plan and try to find a you know, a little more.
Be a little more definitive, or comprehensive.
Of course, we don't know what their instructions were either. So, you know, I'm not blaming them. They're.
Oh no, they had any. I don't think they had any. I think they were just trying to get things started.
Well, and maybe they were taking an approach to not be too, they were trying to be too aggressive. They just wanted to throw something out there. Okay, that worked. Here we are.
Well, the intent of what they're...
See if it stuck.
I think the intent of the criteria that they've brought forward is just to get things started.
Yeah.
Our 18 months. Well, I don't know when our 18 months starts.
Right, hadn't been certified.
Hadn't been certified yet.
So the 18 months haven't started.
Well, I think there's a strong desire throughout county government to get this stuff done, so let's get her done.
Yes.
I think this is your land use plan, whether it gets certified or not. I think this is going to be it. But
what the council adopted it.
You know, so, and hopefully the state will look kindly on it. We certainly need them to. So.
Would there be a consensus of opinion as far as a recommendation as to forward a memo to council suggesting that what's in basic pages 333 through 335 be incorporated into the criteria?
I would say so.
Before we give further consideration.
Yeah, and that certain amount of that has to be mandatory. It's not a list you get to. It's not like we're not ordering sushi here where we're checking off the rolls that we want. You know?
This has been very helpful to me to get to hear what staff and fellow commissioners have to say. Something seems like a discussion that's been a long time coming and we haven't had because we've got agenda items to take up, and I look forward to looking at this.
And
I think we've
been
blessed, and we've seen some, for myself, we've seen some really great cluster plans, and then I've seen some that I know I kind of don't like, but I don't exactly know why, with the exception of like what Mr. Gordy said about a real fragmented open space. Some of them seem to speak and say, this is a great cluster plan. Yeah, the designer's done a good job. And others, for myself, it's like, something about that one bothers me. I just don't know what it is, you know? So it's been great for me to listen to everyone, and maybe I can have some more input later.
I think the summation of those pages would be good.
Well, all I'm saying is that it just appeared that we expected something a little bit more...
tighter.
Yeah, more ordinance.
Right. In ordinance language.
And I think what they're really trying to do is ask for input before they go any further, but I don't know if it's being pushed or... I don't know.
We're going to find out, yeah.
So what I asked was that, is there a consensus that we be more specific by using those three pages, that they be incorporated into the criteria for further consideration?
I see the thumbs up there.
Yes,
Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, that would be the consensus, Mr. Link.
Okay.
Okay, super green.
Green ordinance proposal.